Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is the Cup of Goodness program this morning. However, this is a Sunday morning. We are looking through the book of Ephesians. We are looking at Ephesians chapter 4. Starting with verse 22, we start to get into what really is important from Paul. Now, we know that Paul speaks a fantastic doctrine. He talks about imputation. He talks about this, what we tend to call spiritual circumcision, the operation made without hands. Paul teaches about the liberty that we have as a Christian. Paul teaches us about Christ in Romans chapter 10, how Christ took care of the law for righteousness. Without the law, there is no transgression, for example. We look at Romans 5:13. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. This is fantastic doctrine that Paul teaches us. In most cases, I have come to realize as a pastor and a preacher and a teacher that people really do truly love to hear the doctrine that Paul teaches. But once a person spends a couple weeks or a couple months or whatever it is learning these doctrines, learning what it is that Christ did not only for us but to us, then we realize, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that ye would abound more and more." Paul spends most of his ministry, first of all, remember, he's talking to the church of God. He's talking to the Christians. He's talking to the people that have put their faith and trust in the risen Christ, according to as Paul has taught to them. And so we realize that because of what Christ has done for us, and because of what Christ has done to us, we ought to walk. That's our day-to-day general walkage. We ought to walk and to please God. Now, for years in America, when America had one Bible, King James Bible, and yes, folks, there was a time in America, for many years actually, where there was one Bible, King James 1611 Bible. People would read that. They knew they were reading the Word of God. In fact, I have heard over the years, I have learned, that in the earlier days of America, when people didn't read the Bible, didn't believe the Bible, they still knew it was the Word of God. They still believed that this was the Bible. They just didn't want to do it. So they knew they were rejecting what people claimed to be the Word of God. So today, we have all these hundreds of Bibles, and all these verses are changed and different things. The walk is so tweaked to please God. The definition and description of God is so tweaked. And there's so much bitterness and anger and hatred towards God because of people being taught the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, adding, of course, Peter and James and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude, put all this stuff together. And the preaching of the severity of God has just made people angry. It's just made them actually mad at whoever this God is. How can there be a God like that? Well, they're preaching a wrong God. They're preaching a wrong Jesus. And I keep bringing this verse up, but it's a very important verse. The severity of God. You know, the chastisement, the punishment from, daily, etc. That was to the Jews. That is Old Testament. That's the Gospels. That is not the risen Savior towards the Gentiles. He says in Romans 11:22, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." In this chapter, he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. And he says, "On them which fell severity," fell, past tense, severity, "but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue," present tense, "if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off." There will come a time when Christ shuts off the Gentiles. All the things that Christ has been doing to and for the Gentiles, he'll stop that, and he'll go back to his people. That's called the rapture, then followed by the tribulation. People just got this anger towards God and this hatred towards God. And I will probably be talking about that on Monday or Tuesday this coming week. It's something that's just been on my mind a lot. How can people think the way they do towards God unless they've been taught falsely? And what is it about God that he's done that's so spectacular that people just aren't getting? They're missing it as a result. They're getting mad at him. We go to Romans chapter 2. It says, these people They despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. They despise that, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's right. People don't know that. So they despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. And that just bothers me to think that here's God, who has done what he's done over all these years. To us, it's years. To him, there is no time. And yet, this is the thanks he gets. People don't want to walk as if he is their God. So we get into Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, and verse 20-22 starts right off with, that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So now we go to verse 24. See, here's the tough stuff. It seems like, I guess it is. Well, we know that it is in some respects, because Paul fought his own flesh. Remember, we talked about how we've been separated from our flesh. We have our soul been separated from our flesh. And then we have the Spirit of God, which has come into us because he separated our spirit from our flesh. As a result of that, we can have a clean soul. He imputes his righteousness to our soul. And because our spirit has been separated, the spirit of man has been separated from our flesh, we can now have the Spirit of God in ourselves. So with that in mind, let's start looking into the walk. This is what Paul's ministry is really about. Yes, it says in Ephesians chapter 3 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery that Paul was given. But just keep in mind, think about it, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, inheritance, of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. And we realize that we're talking about being the Christian, and we will be rewarded as such. This is what Paul's ministry is all about. Yes, it's about all these marvelous doctrines. Yes, it's about the liberty they have in Christ. But still, we should walk to please God. And that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, that as ye have received of us, that's Paul and Barnabas and all these guys, how ye ought to walk and to please God. That's the verse that as a Baptist pastor shook me up to the point where I started to think, wait a minute, I need to start looking at this Paul guy and his writings and see what this is all about. What's this about walking to please God? So I eventually started to teach my church people how to please God based on Paul's teachings. And for many, it was very difficult. We really enjoyed the doctrine about Paul. We really enjoyed rightly dividing. We really enjoyed the understanding that came from all that. We really enjoyed the fact that we don't have to do the Beatitudes, for example. That we're not even told to do the Beatitudes. We're not told as Gentiles to do those things in the Gospels. But we are still told how to walk to please God. And there begins the war. The war with other people? No, the war within yourself. Just like Paul said in Romans chapter 7. I do repeat myself a lot, don't I? Well, it just kind of all comes out in my conversation. Boy, don't ever invite me over for dinner or lunch and ask me some questions, because I'll just talk forever. We go to Romans chapter 7 again, and we see that Paul says in verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Paul knew what was right. I mean, Paul had met with the risen Savior a number of times. Paul knew that in 1 Corinthians 13:10, when he talks about that, when that which is perfect has come, he knew that this was coming, this Bible. He knew some spectacular things. And he was also told some of the things that he learned he was not to tell anybody, by the way. 2 Corinthians 12, I think it is. He can teach us that as we try to walk to please God, it won't be easy. We'll lose a lot of friends, lose a lot of fellowship. Our lives will change. It comes with persecution. Now, isn't that just exciting? Isn't that just tremendously encouraging? Well, when you realize that what you've got here, people always talk about their relationship with Jesus, all this kind of talk. When a person realizes what truly that means, they will realize that if they've got this relationship with the risen Savior, and because of what they've learned about the doctrines and the teachings that this risen Savior has taught us about what Christ has done to and for us, they will start to develop the desire to do the right thing. Now, it doesn't all come at once for everybody. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, we're not to, for those that are weak in the faith, leave them alone. Let them grow. He's not talking about the world there, folks. He's talking about the brethren who are young in the Lord, as we would put it. But he calls it weak in the faith. They're in the faith, but they're just weak. They don't understand it. That's another program another day. Boy, I hope, folks, if you could get out there and help this program financially, I would appreciate it, because this is a fantastic opportunity to put into 30-minute programs everything I can think of that talks about teaching and preaching the ministry of Paul and the teachings and ministry of the risen Savior. But anyway, back to our lesson. So anyway, this walk is exciting. It's encouraging. It gives you strength. It gives you confidence. And Paul had the same battle that you will have, that I have, and the listeners out there that understand this stuff, the battles that we have, is just like Paul describes. Back to verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's in our body. It's in our flesh. O wretched man that I am. This is Paul talking. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's our physical body. So we spend all of our life pleasing our body, doing what our flesh, our body, enjoys. The lusts, all that sort of stuff. That's the old man in us. Well, you know, when we become that new man, that old man is still there. Now we'll read, it's supposed to be crucified, but like Paul says, it comes back and it bothers us. But it says in verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it's still in us. As a Christian, we haven't gotten rid of sin. Christ took care of the law. So then without the law, the sin is not imputed to us. But it's still there. So when we go to our judgment seat of Christ, our works will be judged. And that'll be based on our physical walk. But we ourselves, we're fine. We're clean. We will not be judged by that fire. Well, that's exciting. Yes, it is exciting. And how many Christians are aware of that? How many Christians realize that this walk that we're to walk, it's like this. They're not the do's and the don'ts. They are the do's and the shouldn'ts. So then Paul says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We have this battle that will take place. So congratulations to those of you who have learned enough about the risen Savior, Paul, King James Bible, rightly dividing, that now it's time for you to realize, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, maybe you're still working on that doctrinal stuff, but maybe it's time for you to realize that in Ephesians chapter 4, that is time in verse 24, to put on the new man. But just like any time you get up in the morning to put on your clothes, put on yourself, it doesn't happen in seconds, does it? It takes a few minutes. It takes a little while. And you start with the small stuff and then end up with the big stuff, you know, and all this kind. Then you get into the fine-tuning. There's all sorts of stuff like that. And we put something on. And then as you get older, get longer in life, sometimes it takes even a little longer to put on. Well, we're going to look into that now. We're going to start looking into it on the Sunday mornings, because that's what the rest of Ephesians is about. That's what Timothy is about. That's what Titus is about. So we'll be talking about this on the morning program, the Cup of Goodness program. I'm going to always be reminding folks about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm always going to be reminding folks that Christ took care of the law. These things from Paul are not laws. I know too many people who have gone from the rules of Jesus given to the Jews to the rules of the risen Savior given to Paul, given to the Gentiles. That's not what these are. These are the do's and the shouldn'ts. When we start talking about the walk with Christians, usually, one of the first things they talk about is either the Beatitudes or the Ten Commandments. For what it's worth, folks, we don't have to do the Beatitudes. We don't have to do the Ten Commandments. In fact, if you look through the Beatitudes, if I keep this program going long enough, we'll go through the Beatitudes a little bit, and I'll show you the impossibility of some of them. It's not possible. And yet, if you go through all the things that Paul teaches us as dues, you would find out that not one of them is impossible. Not one of them is so challenging that you just can't do it. No, we choose to not do them. In Romans chapter 6, the second half of that chapter, Paul tells us, listen, Christ took care of the law. We're not capable of sin because he got rid of sin by getting rid of the law. The second half of that, that's in the first part of the chapter. The second half of that chapter, he shows us that we now have the option and the ability to choose what we do and don't do. Everything Paul teaches us to do to please God, we could do. There's not a single thing that if we were to list them, which I tried to do one time, and I figured, why am I listing them? All we have to do is just read Paul's books. It's already been written, so I quit writing them down. But there's not a single one of those that we can't do. We just choose not to. And Paul explains why we choose not to, because we have that flesh. We have the sin that's in us. And the law of the mind, we learn Paul's doctrines, we learn all this fantastic stuff. We really want to serve God with our mind, but our flesh still just keeps getting in the way. Now, the word commandments. Listen to this about commandments. I said we don't have to do the Ten Commandments. Nowhere does it say, do the Ten Commandments. It's listed the fact that they've received the Ten Commandments. But do we have to do them? Actually, Paul repeats them all, one way or another, except one. So everybody's fighting for the commandments. They want to be the Christian. They want to do that Christian walk. And there's a lot of people that do, but they're mixed up with that Christian walk. They don't understand that they're trying to walk the Jewish list, which was based on the law, as compared to what Paul teaches. And yes, they're called commandments. Yes, listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, which a lot of people do today, at least they think they're spiritual. But to be a prophet, yeah, there's a couple loony boonies out there that think that they're prophets of God today. But to be spiritual, that's okay, based on scriptures, based on rightly dividing. That's that spiritual understanding. Nothing wrong with that at all. But he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you, that's Paul, are the commandments of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about the Levitical commandments. He's talking about what he teaches are the commandments of the Lord. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2, right after that favorite verse of mine, where he says that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. Right after that, he says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So yes, in the next couple programs, in the next weeks of programs, it'd be nice if y'all folks could help me keep the months of programs, we're going to be talking about the commandments. But we're going to be talking about the commandments that the risen Savior gave to Paul to give to us. And if you want to be that Christian, if you want to walk that walk that pleases God, we just have to acknowledge the fact that what we are given by Paul are commandments of the Lord. These are things that he told us we could do to please him. These are the things that would please him. Is it the law? No. Is it the law based on the risen Savior? No. Do we have to do them? No. Well, what if we don't do them? You won't. You won't do them all. Some are easier than others. You'll try. But you'll see as we talk about these things, the pressure from your friends, the pressure from about, the pressure from your job, the pressure from the laws that are going against being a Christian. They're getting pretty tough. So you'll pick and choose. You will. But just remember this. Paul says in Galatians, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's just the way it is. We say things like, it'll burn. Because that's what the judgment seat of Christ is. Our works will be put to the fiery test. And if it's a work for the flesh, if you sow your flesh, well, it'll reap corruption. Well, our flesh is still dying. Our flesh is not, just because we're a Christian doesn't mean all of a sudden our body is going to be healed. That's just false teaching. But our flesh will reap corruption, but it'll also burn the judgment seat of Christ. He says, but he that soweth to the Spirit, you know, the spiritual things, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Does that mean you're going to, if you do the right things, you go to heaven? No, that means we do the right things, it'll reap life everlasting. It'll be resulting in our life during the millennium, for example, in eternity. We will be rewarded for eternity, not with eternity, but for eternity. And then he says this, he has to remind us, and let us not be weary in well-doing. I guarantee you, folks, if you're going to try to learn these things from the risen Savior and do it just because you want to please God, you'll get weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We can't give up. If we go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, for example, we said that this is the one commandment that we are not told to follow. Really? Yeah. Do you remember the commandment about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Oh, yeah, that was one of the easier ones to memorize when I was a kid. Well, that's because most of us memorized the Ten Commandments, but not in their complete form. We just had a summary list of them. Anyway, here he says in Colossians 2:16 now, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. We do not have to keep the Sabbath. It's a Jewish thing. So these people today that base the fact that we have to obey the Sabbath, or Sabbath is on a Saturday, or whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. Every day is a day that we worship God. Every day is a day that we please God. I like to say every day is a day of rest, but after a while we'd get kind of bored sitting around. And these people to think that they actually are remembering the Sabbath, but yet they still get up and do some things. If they were to study the Sabbath and find out what they can't do, I mean, there was a kid that was killed because he was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. This is just all false walk. It's false gospel. It's just pride for them to think that they actually are remembering the Sabbath. That's just a little bunny trail, of course, coming off the walk talk, I guess I could call it that way. Let's go back to Ephesians and let's start reading this stuff. I'll bunny trail a bunch of times now. About the walk, are we ready? I'm not going to get very far today either. The talk about the walk is tough for people. Some of you folks might be thinking, oh, I'm not doing so bad. You'd be surprised. One of the things I have learned, whenever I start to realize or think to myself, you know, I'm doing pretty good as a Christian. I'll read something in my scriptures, in my Bible, in my King James Bible, and I'll realize, oh, I'm not doing that great at all. This is how we are today. We are in a very lackadaisical, very lazy, putting on the new man. You know, here's a thought. I'm just winging my brain here this morning. What do people put on today? What do they wear when they go out in the public? Not very much, do they? And they're satisfied. They're even comfortable. And they say, if you get excited about what I'm wearing, that's your problem, not mine. No, it is your problem. You're the one that's exposing yourself. You're the one that's dressed really shabby. You're the one that just looks horrible. Based on what? American culture? I suppose. A lot of American culture is based on scriptures, though. The walk and things like that, being a Christian. But anyway, people don't wear... In fact, you go places, you look at some of these people, and you're thinking, man, why didn't you put on more clothes? Not because it's all exciting, but it looks gross. What is going on here? People don't put that much on anymore, and they're satisfied. Well, look at this thing here when it says in Ephesians, put ye on the new man. So people think they could do a couple good things to please God, and that's good enough for God. Well, I'm not going to say it's good enough for God, and yes, it'll probably pass in the judgment seat of Christ into rewards, but it's just a few things. Christians today just want to put on a few things of the new man. They might be able to pick a couple of these things that are pretty easy, you know. Let him that stole steal no more. Well, I used to be a thief. Now I don't steal anything anymore. You'd be surprised what you still steal. You may not take somebody's gun or car or money, but you ever steal little things from them? Do you ever steal little things from work? How about this one? Do you ever steal anybody's time? I mean, there's things we can steal that aren't as obvious as plain old-fashioned theft. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, I talk pretty clean, cleaner than I did a couple years ago. Well, I know, but clean enough to please God all the time, part of the time? No, my point is this. that we just don't, we're satisfied putting on a few things. That's just a modern comparison that came to my little thoughts right now. So let's go back, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back to 22, because this is kind of where it starts. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Isn't that nice to be able to come home at night, you know, go to bed, get rid of all this junk, you know, take a shower, get all cleaned up, get rid of the crummy clothes, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You wake up and you're rested, you know, and put on the new man. There we go. New clothes, new shirt, maybe just clean, whatever. You go out the door and you're gonna just knock them dead today. You're just gonna take on the world, take on the job, take on my students, and you're gonna just make everything work, you know. And then you got the battles all day long. You come home, put off that former conversation, the old man. Well, this is a little bit more than that. This is truly putting off concerning a former conversation. The former conversation, the old man, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well, it's still there. Our old man is crucified. It's dead because we've been cut away from it, but it's still there. The body of sin might be destroyed. One of these days, this body will be destroyed. It will be gone, kaputzed, no longer even in it at all. But until then, we're going to fight that old man. He says here in Colossians 3, lie not one to another. See, there's one of those commandments. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, if you lie to somebody, that's the old man coming back a little bit. Just coming back enough to get you to lie. That's one of the deeds of the old man. And he says, like he said down here in verse 24, and put ye on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember, we are now his workmanship. We are not the old man. We are not the old man made in the image of Adam. Our body still is, but we ourselves, no, we're clean. We can put on the new man. But what is the new man? He says in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we need to learn about him that created me and be renewed in knowledge. Read your Bible, read Paul, read the books of Paul, because those are what's written to us. And yes, those are the commandments of God, Jesus Christ, risen to Paul, King James Bible, that will show us how to please God. This new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes, these are the things that would please God. And we got as far as verse 24, which is where we started, and this is where we stop, because this is where it starts. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking, there we go. There's our list of do's and shouldn'ts. And we'll start talking about that either next Sunday or maybe even before that during the week. 8:30 Monday through Friday on this radio station. This radio station, near as I can tell, is the only station that has the courage and the wisdom, I suppose, to put this program on the air and hope that all the folks in Fort Worth, Dallas area hear what it is to follow the risen Savior and to learn that they may just have a false Jesus, an Antichrist spirit, an Antichrist Savior, an imitation spirit, an imitation church, an imitation pastor, an imitation Christianity. So I hope you come back and visit us Monday through Friday, 8:30. Half-hour program, a little music involved, and we will continue on with doctrines of Paul from the risen Savior and to learn how to walk to please God. And it's all about the goodness of God. We'll talk more about that at the next program.